Of the student. It's the student who learns the language. It's the student who solves the problem. However, the catalyst, el culpable del bien, is the Vaughan method and the Vaughan teacher. We transform the student into our accomplice, nuestro cómplice, cómplice en el crimen de aprender inglés de verdad.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome. Good morning. Welcome to a new edition. Today is Wednesday, the 12th of May. It's a good day. It's a good day for learning English. It's a good day for a lot of things. So let's not waste any time. Let's get going. Let's get started. Let's get this show on the road. Let's not waste any more time. Let's not spend too much time with preambles. Let's simply go straight to the content. Let's get to the point. Ir al grano, to get to the point. Let's get down to work. A trabajar. Let's get down to work. Let's get down to work. Roll up your sleeves. Even though it's only 7:31 in the morning. Too early for some people, but not too early for the best people. Then let's roll up our sleeves and get down to work. Answer the following sentences. Do different people have different tastes? Yes, they do. Are UFOs often described as shaped like a flying saucer? Yes, they are. Is it true what they say that you can't judge a book by the cover? Yes, it is. Do you carry business cards with you? Yes, I do. Have you ever used a marker to highlight passages in a book? Yes, I have. Is a door handle a device designed to open doors? Yes, it is. Do some people spend more than 2 hours a day stuck in heavy traffic? Yes, they do. Does it seem to you that fewer people nowadays play cards? Yes, it does. Are whales mammals? Yes, they are. Does a college degree mean the same as a university degree? Yes, it does. All right. One more time. Let's go around the carousel. Carousel, let's go around the carousel one more time. Let's go around the merry-go-round. The word we use in the U.S., I think in the U.K. too, for la noria, is the merry-go-round. Feliz va alrededor. Merry, como Merry Christmas, go round. Merry-go-round. I'm not sure if the British have a different word. The carousel is what we use in the airport, waiting for your luggage, and the bags come out on the carousel. On the carousel. Now, you say la noria, I think. But a noria has two meanings in Spanish. One is with the mules or the donkeys walking around in a circle to extract water or similar from a well. But let's see, merry go round. Let me see if I can find it. Merry-go-round, and see if in British English it's a different word. Because I'm not familiar really with too much with British English. A merry-go-round. A merry-go-round. Carousel, revolving platform. Yes, a revolving circular platform with wooden horses, benches, etc., on which people ride at an amusement park. All right. Now, in Spanish, of course, it's called noria. Ah, perdona, tío vivo. No, noria. Ah, la noria. Ay, yeah, now I remember. The noria is the Ferris wheel. Ferris wheel. The merry-go-round. All right. In Argentina, El Tío Vivo, the merry-go-round is called La Calecita. Okay. I didn't know that. A merry-go-round. So it's a Tío Vivo. The Ferris wheel. Ferris wheel is the La Noria. And I don't know why we call it a Ferris wheel, to tell you the truth. The word Ferris, I don't know the origin of the word Ferris. Why Ferris? F-E-R-R-I-S. I don't know why. Maybe we can find out. Why Ferris? Why the word Ferris for Ferris wheel? I don't know. I don't know. The term Ferris wheel comes from the maker of one of the first examples constructed for the Chicago World, for Chicago's World Columbian Exposition by George Washington Gale Ferris, Jr., in 1893. All right. Modern versions have been called observation wheels. You know, they have this in London along the river, and in Paris along the river bay. Well, I don't like them. I've never been on one, of course. I think they take you up very high, and you spend maybe 5 minutes at each station along the way. So it gives you a good opportunity to see the city from a high altitude. But I don't think it adds to the aesthetic value of the city. London and Paris are very attractive cities. And to place these big Ferris wheels, these big observation wheels, in the middle, I don't know. London, observation wheel. Let's see it. And pictures. All right, here you have the river, the beautiful river, and that big wheel. I don't know. I've never been on it. Have you? And in Paris, I've never gone up it. I was at the foot of the wheel, but I've never gone up it. London and the Paris observation wheel. No sé quién ha copiado a quién. You know, it's in Place de la Concorde, right there. And it's just not, for me, it's not very attractive. I would call it an eyesore. For Paris, an eyesore. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It's an eyesore. And eyesore means una llaga ocular. Y una llaga ocular quiere decir algo feo que daña la vista cuando lo ves. It's an eyesore. So, I remember the on Gran Vía. No, on Paseo del Prado. There's an eyesore. But there are several eyesores along the Paseo del Prado or along Paseo de Recoletos, etc. in Madrid. But let's go on, shall we? Let's go on. So, do different people have different tastes? Yes, they do. Are UFOs often described as shaped like a flying saucer? Yes, they are. Is it true what they say, that you can't judge a book by the cover? Yes, it's true. Do you carry business cards around with you? Yes, I do. Have you ever used a marker to highlight passages in a book? Yes, I have. Is a door handle a device designed to open doors? Yes, it is. Do some people spend more than 2 hours a day stuck in heavy traffic? Yes, they do. Does it seem to you that fewer people nowadays play cards? Yes, it does. Are whales mammals? Yes, they are. Is a college degree, does a college degree mean the same as a university degree? Yes, it does. All right, do different people have different tastes? Well, of course. It's sobre gustos no hay nada escrito. It's a very famous, very well-known proverb or saying in Spanish. Different strokes for different folks. is a modern expression, well, a very contemporary expression in English. Diferentes caricias para diferentes gentes. Different strokes for different folks. Okay. Different people have different tastes. Very different. Very, very different. The other day I gave a talk here in Madrid in a foundation. I did it as a gesture of friendship and goodwill. A 1 hour and 20 minute talk on camera. But I had a good time. And the person in charge of the foundation had prepared cakes and coffee. And the cakes were sweet. And I said, I can't eat. She said, oh my God, we bought all these cakes for you. And I said, but I don't eat sweets. And she said, oh my God, but surely you're going to love this sweet. Just incredible. And another person said, yes, try this sweet. It's incredible. It's really, really good. And I said, I warn you, I don't like sweets. I said, but you'll love this. They insisted. You'll love this. Out of courtesy, I picked it up and took a bite from part of it. And I had trouble. They could tell. They could tell that I was almost crying. They could tell that I was suffering. I can't stand sweet food. I can't stand it. And so she said, here, give it to me. And I gave her the half of the piece, the sweet that I had not eaten. She said, clearly you can't eat sweets. I mean, when I say I don't like sweets, I don't like sweets. Sorry. And there are people like me, you know. I mean, imagine you come to my office to do me a favor, and I offer you a tray, una bandeja, llena de trozos de cebolla cruda. I said, toma, toma, los he comprado para ti. You know, that's, and say, my God, but I don't want to eat raw onions or garlic teeth, dientes de ajo. No, thank you. And that's my reaction to sweets. And it's, thank God, because if I had a sweet tooth, I would weigh 200 kilos, because I eat a lot. I'm an eater. I'm a glutton. And if I ate sweet food that is usually higher in calories and also not very high in sugar content, I would probably be a diabetic or I would be obese. So I don't. Thank God, from the time I was a baby, my mother said, you didn't like sweets when you were a baby. They wanted to give you a lollipop with sugar on it and you didn't like it. I made a bad face when I was 3 or 4 months old when people gave me lollipops or something to suck on. And I didn't like it. So, do different people have different tastes? Yes, different people have different tastes. A taste test. Taste test. Yes, a taste test is una cata. Es un test de sabor. Taste test. Number two, are UFOs? Are UFOs often described as shaped like a flying saucer? Yes. A saucer is un platito, un plato pequeño. Yes, for example, often at home or in restaurants, the bread is not on the table itself, it's on a saucer. Saucer comes from the word salsa. So saucer, literalmente, es salsador. Okay, sauce. Sauce is salsa, escrito sauce. Sauce. Hot sauce, different types of sauces. The French are very expert in preparing sauce or different sauces. And so, but a saucer is un platito, plato pequeño. And of course you say platillo volante. You say a flying saucer or volador, flying saucer. And so we say it too. Now, usually nowadays people say UFOs, unidentified flying objects. But they are often described as shaped. To shape, shape is la forma física de algo, su configuración, the shape. But to shape is configurar o darle forma a algo, to shape. S-H-A-P-E, shape. And we use this word a lot, the shape, la forma, el estado de la cosa. To shape is moldear también, to shape, dar forma a. And so to shape. To be in good shape is the most common way in the U.S. to say, estar de buena forma física. To be in good shape. I'm in good shape. Even though I need to lose 4 kilos, I'm in good shape. The problem is when you lose, when you try to lose weight, it's not difficult, but you lose it in your face and neck first. And it makes you look sick sometimes. I say, are you okay? Have you contracted cancer or something? No, I've just lost 7 kilos, that's all. It comes off of your face first. But in any case, to be in good shape, and to be out of shape, I'm out of shape. I need to get back into shape. To get into shape, I'm going to put you into shape. Yeah, you're going to get back into shape with me. I'm your personal trainer. And you're grossly out of shape. So I'm going to get you back into shape. But in any case, in this case, I'm talking about UFOs and how people often describe UFOs shaped like. Yes, dalo con forma de. Shaped like a flying saucer. Have you ever seen a UFO? I haven't. Well, I've seen stars. I've seen stars moving across the sky. I'm sure those stars were satellites orbiting the Earth. For me, they were unidentified. So yes, I have seen objects traveling across the sky at night. And I assumed they were satellites, because if they were stars, they would disappear as shooting stars or falling stars. We say a shooting star or a falling star. For estrella errante, no? Estrella fugaz. Yes. Which do you say? For a shooting star. Yes. A shooting star. Shooting star. Estrella fugaz. You don't say estrella errante, right? For a falling star. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Estrella fugaz. Pero ¿dónde he oído estrella errante? I was born under a wandering star. All right, errante. Let me look it up. Errante. Wandering, roaming. Yes. Estrella errante. I can't find it. But the song is, I was born under a wandering star. I was born under a wandering star. And it's interesting because that song was, composed for the movie Paint Your Wagon. Now, Paint Your Wagon, Pinta Tu Carro, Pinta Tu Carro, Carro del Siglo XIX, Paint Your Wagon. In Spanish, the movie is called Leyenda, I think, if I remember right, Leyenda de una Ciudad Sin Nombre, with Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin, and Jean Seberg, I believe, before she committed suicide. Just a second. Yeah. Paint Your Wagon. Paint Your Wagon. La Leyenda de la Ciudad Sin Nombre. That's the correct. Yeah, I was correct. Now, Paint Your Wagon was a movie made in 1969. starring Lee Marvin, Clint Eastwood, and Gene Seberg. Gene Seberg was from Iowa, I believe, or from Nebraska. I think she was born in Iowa. Let's see. She was born in 1938. Where? Where was she born, Gene Seberg? Iowa. Marshalltown, Iowa. 27,000 people. And she became very famous, especially in France. She died of probable suicide, they're not sure, at the age of 40. 1979, that's 10 years after making Paint Your Wagon. She was only 30. She was very attractive. She's a very attractive woman, Gene Seberg. But in Paint Your Wagon, Lee Marvin sings a song. Now, Lee Marvin is as far away from a singer as you can imagine. And so he sang, but he sang it well with his very low voice. A very low voice. I was born under a wandering star. I can't go that low. I was born under a wandering star. Wheels are made for rolling. Mules are made to pack. I've never seen a sight that didn't look better looking back. So I was born under a wandering star. Mud can make you prisoner, and plans can bake you dry. Snow can bum your eyes, but only people make you cry. A wandering star is estrella errante. But in Spanish you say estrella fugaz for a shooting star or falling star, because sometimes the star looks like it's falling from the sky. And other times, it looks like it's shooting across the firmament. It's interesting, if you go into Google Images, and you see and you write Paint Your Wagon, the movie, the title of the movie, you can see the three characters, Lee Marvin, Clint Eastwood, when he was quite young still, and Gene Seberg, when she was 40 years old, excuse me, 29 or 30 years old. Gene Seberg. I was born under a wandering star. It was a pretty interesting movie. A little bit too long, if I remember right. But it's a story of the old west of the mining towns. Los pueblos mineros, the mining towns. And the mining towns came and went quite often. They become a boom town because there's gold or silver. And 20 years later, the town collapses completely and just becomes a ghost town because there isn't any gold and silver anymore. They have depleted the supply. And that happens. And you can, especially if you go to the state of Colorado and go up into the Rocky Mountains, there are ghost towns. And tourists go to visit these ghost towns. And they were based on the Colorado Gold Rush, which I don't remember exactly when it was. I think in the 1880s. Colorado Gold Rush. In the 1880s. Pike's Peak Gold Rush. When was it? 1861? No. Yes, the Pikes Peak Gold Rush, later known as the Colorado Gold Rush, was the boom in gold prospecting and mining in Pikes Peak County in what is today Colorado. All right. 1860, the creation of the territory, 1861, pero cuando fue? All right. The initial boom, 1861. All right, 1861. So that was, it coincided with the American Civil War. Yeah. So, and everybody went there, and there were a lot of towns grew up out of nowhere. They grew up quickly. and then died quickly as well. We called them ghost towns, pueblos fantasma. Ghost towns. All right, so a shooting star. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Lyrics. That's from Walt Disney. I think it's from Pinocchio. When you wish upon a star. I'm pretty sure it's from the movie Pinocchio. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. All right, that's from the movie Pinocchio. I'm getting a little bit, it's very early in the morning to get romantic. So I think I will take a break. I have personally taught 2,000 people. I have supervised the teaching of more than 50,000. I know what works, and I know what doesn't work. The secret is the motivation of the student. It's the student who learns the language. It's the student who solves the problem. However, the catalyst, el culpable del bien, is the Vaughan method and the Vaughan teacher. We transform the student into our accomplice, nuestro cómplice. Cómplice en el crimen de aprender inglés de verdad.
Tenemos todo preparado para que des a tus hijos el verano de sus vidas en inglés. Nuestros campamentos en medio de la naturaleza les transportarán a miles de aventuras. Llama al 91-133-5833 y te lo contamos todo.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan Telephone Class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
Ven a vernos a nuestra tienda física en Madrid. Estamos en la calle Orense 75, de lunes a jueves de 10 a 2 y de 2 y media a 6 y media, y los viernes de 10 a 2 y de 2 y media a 5 y media. Y si no, ya sabes, vaughantienda.com.
Haz una pausa y disfruta, mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Si tienes un smartphone o una tablet, no tienes excusas. Descarga ya nuestra app de Vaughan Radio y podrás escuchar nuestra radio en directo, enviarnos tus tweets, conocer nuestra parrilla, acceder a nuestros podcasts y enterarte de todas las novedades de Vaughan. Aprende inglés en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar con la app de Vaughan Radio. Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Learning a language well is difficult. You have to be really motivated to make the long-term effort. For this reason, opportunists appear, offering easy solutions. Do you believe in these solutions? Do you believe in these easy solutions?
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome back. All right, we're back for our second half hour of today's Wednesday edition of Richard Vaughan Live, the 12th of May. Are you ready? Do different people have different tastes? Yes, they do. Are UFOs often described as shaped like a flying saucer? Yes, they are. Is it true what they say that you can't judge the book by the cover? Yes, it is. Do you carry business cards with you? Yes, I do. Have you ever used a marker to highlight passages in a book? Yes, I have. Is a door handle a device designed to open doors? Yes, it is. Do some people spend more than 2 hours every day stuck in heavy traffic? Yes, they do. Does it seem to you that fewer people nowadays are playing cards? Yes, it does. Are whales mammals? Yes, they are. Does a college degree mean the same as a university degree? Yes, it does. All right. So let's go back to where we left off just before the break. Is it true what they say that you can't judge a book by the cover? Yes, it's pretty true. Las apariencias engañan is the expression in Spanish. You can't judge the book by the cover, or you can't judge the book by its cover. I think it's more common, the second expression, by its cover. However, I grew up hearing the other. You can't judge the book by the cover. The cover is la tapa cubierta un libro, the book jacket. I really don't know how to say, the book jacket in Spanish. Book jacket is what we say in the States. The book jacket. Let me see if I can find how to say that. La sobrecubierta del libro. All right. La sobrecubierta. Elegante sobrecubierta. I've never heard the word sobrecubierta. Maybe that's what they say. The book jacket. The book jacket. Let me see if I can find. El forro. Sobrecubierta. Forro. Del libro. That's the book jacket. The dust cover. I've heard that too. Strange word. Dust cover. The dust cover. I've heard that. A cloth or plastic covering used to protect furniture or equipment. Okay, so a dust cover is something you put over a book to protect it. It's not the book jacket. The book jacket is what the publisher puts. I usually take off book jackets when I'm reading a book. But nevertheless, you can't judge the book by the cover. And it's true, no puedes juzgar el libro por las tapas o las cubierta. You can't judge the book by the cover. You have to read it. Or at least start reading it and get an idea. But be careful, because if you start reading a book, sometimes books are a little bit boring at the beginning and then become interesting. You have to have a little bit of patience. The book I remember the best about that was Passage to India by E.M. Forster, the British author who won a Nobel Prize for literature. Brilliant book, but the first 100 pages were slow, man. They were really slow. But I read it when I was a teenager, maybe 18, 17, I don't remember. Passage to India. But it was good, eh? I remember. I really enjoyed it. So is it true what they say? Es verdad lo que dicen. Is it true what they say? Is it true what they say that you can't judge a book by the cover? Is it true what they say? Yeah, I'm a little sing-songy today. Cantarín? I'm a little bit sing-songy today. But this sentence lends itself to a song. Is it true what they say? Is it true what they say that you can't judge a book by the cover? Is it true what they say? Is it true what they say that you can't judge the book by the cover? Yes, it's true. Richard, you carry business cards around with you? I try to. ¿Cómo? I try to. Excuse me. My question is, do you carry business cards around with you? And my answer is, I try to. Lo intento. In English, we don't say, I try it. I try it to say, lo saboreo, lo cato, lo pruebo. That's different. I try it. No, I try to. Means I try to carry business cards around with me. But the short answer is, yes, I do. Or yes, I try to. I try to. Y cortamos después del tú. Do you carry business cards around with you? Well, I try to. Lo intento. O sea, trato de. I try to. Business cards. Visiting cards. What do you call it? Tarjetas de visita. Tarjetas de negocio. I don't know how to say business cards in Spanish. But I always forget to load my wallet. In my wallet, I carry business cards, but I hand out probably, I don't know, now I hand out maybe 5 per year. I just don't hand out business cards very often. It's not my style. It's not my style to hand out business cards. Entregar tarjetas. How do you say business card? You know, it's funny, this word. I use the object all the time. Tarjeta de visita es lo que se dice, ¿no? Business card in español. Tarjeta de visita. Okay, fine. Yeah, my business cards. I'm not a business card hander-outer. That means I don't. Some people are. You know, some people, bop, bop, here. Boom, 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 boom. They give out cards all the time. I have about 500 business cards on my desk from people. Some of them are 10, 15 years old. And I look at the card, I don't remember. It says, Juanita Pérez, Pérez y Asociados. And the card was from 12 years ago, and I don't remember Juanita Pérez. I just don't remember. But in any case, I try to carry business cards, but I always, when I run out, it takes me about 1 or 2 months to restock my wallet. Wallet is mi cartera, de billetera. And I keep business cards there, but I need to restock it, to replenish. Reponer, cuando se agotan. And I always forget. And half the time, I don't have a business card. I remember about a month ago, I spent an hour with an ambassador from a Central American country. A lady, very pleasant, very intelligent. And I didn't have any business cards on me. I had forgotten to replenish. Replenish, to restock, reestocar, to replenish my wallet with business cards. But it doesn't matter. If they want to contact me, they can find me. With me, it's very easy. Yes. Let's see what they call, what they say in Spanish for replenish. To replenish. To replenish. Strange word in English, eh? Reponer. Yes. Replenish. It's a strange word. The origin of that word. To make full or complete again. To replenish. Funny stuff, eh? I wonder. To replenish the store, to replenish the fridge, to replenish whatever, your energy. But you know, I would like to see the etymology of replenish, to see where that, it must come from French, I would say, de plenitude or something like that, to replenish. Etymology of replenish, probably from French. Late Middle English. From Old French, ahí está, replenis, lengthened stem, okay, all right, to replenish. We use it quite often, and it is perfect in this case. When I run out of business cards, I need to replenish my wallet. And how many business cards, Richard, do you usually keep in your wallet? I usually keep about 6 or 7. Not too many, but if it's too many, it fattens my wallet. Engorda mi cartera demasiado. It fattens my wallet too much. But in any case, I think right now I have 1 business card left. But to tell you the truth, I hand out very few. 5 per year, 8 per year. I just don't, I don't have many visits. I don't visit people very often. But in any case, so, do I carry business cards around with me? To carry around, o sea, llevar de un lado a otro. Yes, I carry business cards around with me if my wallet has been replenished. Have you ever used a marker to highlight passages in a book? Oh, many, many times. Especially when I was in high school and college. You know, I always used a marker to highlight. Well, not often. To tell you the truth, quite often I simply underlined passages in a book. I think I used more simply a pen underlining passages than using a marker. You know, a pink marker or a yellow marker, which is a very nice way of doing it. But how do you say a marker? It's like a felt-tip pen. Felt-tip pen is rotulador. But a marker, like a magic marker. A magic marker. Yes. It's called marcador, lápiz de fibra. We call it a magic, quite often, at least in the U.S., we call it a magic marker. Or simply a marker, I would say, nowadays. But when I was growing up, we said magic marker. In fact, it was called a Marks-a-Lot, which I think is a brand name. So a magic marker, un marcador mágico, para marcar. But the felt-tip pen, tip is la punta, my fingertips, la punta de los dedos, fingertips, the tip of the iceberg, la punta del iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. It's on the tip of my tongue. Lo tengo en la punta de la lengua. It's on the tip of my tongue. And a felt tip. Felt. Como el pasado del verbo to feel, pero significa aquí fieltro. A felt tip pen is un rotulador. It's a strange name in Spanish. Rotulador para rotular. Felt, we say bolígrafo o pluma de punta de fieltro. It makes sense. A felt-tip pen. In Spanish, rotulador. I'm pretty sure you say that. Felt-tip. Rotulador. All right. Felt-tip pen. Plumón, dicen en algún sitio. All right. A felt-tip pen. A permanent marker. A magic marker. All right. So, yes. When I have used a marker to highlight passages in a book many times, but usually I simply underline passages. A passage is the same in Spanish, un pasaje. Leyendo en este pasaje hay dos pasajes que quiero remarcar o resaltar. And so you highlight. To highlight. Highlight, como luz alta, curiosamente. Highlight means remarcar, recalcar. Resaltar, you see. Destacar is to highlight. I want to highlight the fact that I want to highlight the importance. Quiero recalcar, quiero resaltar la importancia del inglés. I want to highlight. Todo junto, como alta luz, highlight. I want to highlight the importance of English. And to highlight a passage is destacar o resaltar un pasaje en un libro. Subrayando la frase o con mark, con what do you call it, rotulador or something. And you highlight the passage. So yes, I have used a marker to highlight passages in a book many times. But I repeat, probably 90% of the time I have simply underlined Because I've never been organized. Some people are very well organized. You know, they have markers of three different colors, and they have backup markers in case the marker runs out of ink. And so they're always very well organized. And me, I'm never well organized. I said, boh, tengo un bolígrafo por aquí para subrayar. Do I have a pen around here to underline the passage? And so I'm a lost case on organization, personal organization. Yeah? So again, is a door handle a device designed to open doors? Yes, sir. A door handle precisely is a device designed, to open doors. A device. Escrito device. Of course, a door handle is a picaporte. Here you use the word picaporte. I've heard that. But you say manilla. I don't know really what you say. Picaporte, they say here, is a knocker, a latch, a door handle. How do you say door handle? Picaporte, pomo. No, pomo is a door knob. Manilla. A manilla. Let's see what the RAI says for manilla. Manija, palanca pequeña de puertas y ventanas. La manilla. All right. And the picaporte? Let's see what the RAI says for picaporte. Let's see. Instrumento para cerrar de golpe las puertas y ventanas. De golpe? All right. All right. Llamador, aldaba. All right. A picaporte, whatever. It's a door, we say a door handle. Basically, there are two ways of opening doors. With a door knob, pomo, which you twist, you grasp with your hand, and you twist the knob to the right to open. Or sometimes you can twist it either way, some strange doorknobs. And I remember once, many years ago, I went to a hotel, and I couldn't get into the room. And this was many years ago, before they had the automatic using a card to open the doors in hotels. And I went to the room and I twisted the doorknob to the right and it didn't move. I couldn't move it. And finally I went to the front desk and I can't open the door. And they came up and said, well, what's the problem? I said, see? And the person took it and twisted it in the other direction and it opened instantly. She said, you just have to turn it the other way. And I said, oh, great. It didn't occur to me to try turning the doorknob to the left, because I've never done it in my life. And another time I remember, this is strange, it was a door handle. And you had to twist it upward, not downward, to open the door. Funny stuff. Yeah, sometimes there's very, very clear solutions and you don't see it. And another person says, well, did you do this? No, I didn't do that. Simple solutions. A door handle. Door knob, K-Kamuda, K-N-O-B, door knob, and a door handle. Door handles are more useful because you can use your elbow if you're carrying a tray or carrying things with both hands. You can't open a door if you have a door knob. You have to put the tray down, open the door, and then pick up the tray and walk through the door. But with a door handle, you can use your elbow or your forearm to push the handle down and then push the door in. If you have to pull the door towards you, you have a problem. All right. Yes, sir. And so a door handle. Now, a device is un dispositivo. Device. Escrito device. Device. Artilugio. It's a device. And aparato artefacto. Dice artefacto. You know, it doesn't say dispositivo. This is strange. Dispositivo is the word I know for mechanism or device. Mecanismo. Dispositivo is a device. I mean, the Spanish definition, device. Mecanismo dispuesto para obtener un resultado. It's a device. Yeah. Now, artilugio means mecanismo artefacto. Hay un artilugio que no vale para nada. That's it. When I hear artilugio, I often think of a chirimbolo or something, you know? An artifact, I think of something maybe from archaeologists, artefactos. All right. But I don't know. But an artifact in English? An artifact in English. This is interesting. I think I have discovered something new today, that artefacto is a false friend. Artifact is a false friend. That's interesting. The word artifact in English. Artifact. Yeah. Artifact. The definition. Any object made by human beings, especially a tool from an earlier time discovered at an archaeological site. Ahí está. In English, artifacts, artefactos, es lo que encuentran las herramientas antiguas de los arqueólogos, que encuentran los arqueólogos. That's an artifact. But apparently in Spanish, artefacto is not exactly that. But I'm not sure. Word reference is not very helpful. Word reference isn't very helpful in this particular case. But yes, a door handle is a device designed, diseñado, is a device designed to open doors. Question, do some people spend more than 2 hours a day stuck in heavy traffic? Yes. In fact, some people spend up to 4 hours a day stuck in heavy traffic. When I was in Mexico City, it was clear. The people who live outside of Mexico City and who commute in by car spend 2 hours going in and 2 hours going back. It's incredible what people do in the developing world to get by. Life is pretty tough. Life is pretty tough for a lot of people. They have to work hard, and they have to spend a lot of time getting to work, then working, and then going home after work. It's quite impressive. It makes a strong impression on you. So, to be stuck, I'm stuck. We use this word a lot. I'm stuck means no sé por dónde ir. Desde aquí estoy incrustado, enganchado, se dice en inglés. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. For example, a writer who's writing a novel and suddenly has writer's block, bloqueo. And I'm stuck. No sé cómo salir de este, seguir con la trama. I'm stuck. Or if you're doing an exam, and there are 10 questions on the exam, and you're stuck on number 3, and the teacher will tell you, if you get stuck on a question, then go on to the next ones and then go back. Once you finish the test, then go back. For example, if you get stuck on number 3, don't worry, just go on to number 4, answer the questions, and then if you finish with enough time, you can go back to question number 3, if you're stuck. But if you're stuck on a question, don't spend too much time on it, if you're stuck. Now, to be stuck in traffic, this is very common. I mean, if I have with my cell phone, if I'm going to arrive late, I'll call the person or I'll write an email. Excuse me, an SMS, a message. And in English, if I'm speaking English to the person, I'll simply say, stuck in traffic, stuck in traffic. So, retenido en atasco de tráfico o tránsito. Retenido en atasco, stuck in traffic. And that's how we say it, at least in American English. Stuck in traffic. I think the British as well. Have you ever been stuck in traffic for more than 2 hours? 2 hours only once in my life. To be stuck in traffic for 2 hours only once in my life. And I was, this is probably in 1979. Probably. I was driving from my house in Madrid to Getafe to a company located in Getafe. And at that time, in 1979, the Toledo Highway was only two lanes. One lane in one direction and another lane in another. Now it's six lanes, three in one direction and three in the other. A lot of improvements have taken place in the south of Madrid. But a truck turned over and blocked both ways. And it was impossible to move. The truck had turned over, un camión, blocking traffic in both directions for more than 2 hours. It was a very difficult problem, and I was stuck. I was stuck. But I'm not stuck now because I'm going to take a break. I'll be back.
Si tienes un smartphone o una tablet, no tienes excusas. Descarga ya nuestra app de Vaughan Radio y podrás escuchar nuestra radio en directo, enviarnos tus tweets, conocer nuestra parrilla, acceder a nuestros podcasts y enterarte de todas las novedades de Vaughan. Aprende inglés en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar con la app de Vaughan Radio.
Te levantas, una ducha, te tomas un café, te vistes, otro café, coges todo para salir, no encuentras las llaves, el coche tarda en arrancar, no arranca, por fin, atasco, más atasco, llegas al trabajo, otro café, reunión, otra reunión. Haz una pausa y disfruta, mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 911-133-5833. 911-133-5833.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Gain Fluency. Gain Fluency with Richard Vaughan. I wrote this book last summer and fall. It's a very, very simple book. Very straightforward. But it's a very, very powerful book. It will triple your fluency and effectiveness when you speak. However, it's designed only for those people who truly want to make big progress. And to make big progress, you have to work hard. Before you buy the book, read the instructions. If they terrify you, if they horrify you, or if you refuse to subscribe to my philosophy, don't buy it. Don't buy the book. Don't waste your money. But if you are willing to make the effort, if you are willing to join me in the journey from point A to point B, you will witness a miracle. Hard work produces more miracles than any other strategy or approach. Gain Fluency with Richard Vaughan.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Lo de mi hijo no es normal. Lleva 2 años en clase de inglés y sigue en el mismo nivel que cuando empezó. Desaparece durante 1 hora 3 veces a la semana y cuando vuelve es que no habla ni una palabra de inglés. Lo único que dice es, mamá, no quiero volver.
Si te siguen pasando estas Stranger Things con los cursos de inglés de tus hijos, es hora de salir de la oscuridad. Dales la oportunidad que tú no tuviste con Vaughan Jr. Un curso de inglés adaptado a su ritmo de aprendizaje, divertido y eficaz, con unos profesores únicos que les motivan y despiertan sus ganas de aprender. Date prisa antes de que desaparezcan las últimas plazas que nos quedan. Llama ahora al 911-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Nuestros campamentos este año tienen un extra de diversión. Tanto si buscas un planazo de ciudad o darles un verano de multiaventura en inglés, tenemos un plan diseñado donde el aprendizaje y la diversión van de la mano. Más información en grupobaugan.com.